Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, as you heard there in the news headlines, the family of Danielle McLaughlin have said justice has been achieved after Vikas Bhagat, who was found guilty in South Goa in India today of her rape and murder. Danielle, who was from Bunkrana, had only been in India for 2 weeks when she was killed. And shortly before coming on air, I spoke to Danielle's mother, Andrea Branigan, her sister, Jolene McLaughlin Branigan, and Danielle's best friend, Louise, who are in the court in India today. I began by asking Jolene about her sister.
Danielle was a free spirit. She volunteered all over the world. She gave back as much as she could. She loved helping others. She was so full of kindness. Everywhere she went, she was noticed and everyone knew her. Her voice, you could hear a mile away, and her laugh.
Yeah,
everyone just knew her laugh. You'd always know Danielle's laughing. Like, she just brightened every room she entered. She was just so full of life. She danced everywhere she went. Like, she couldn't just walk. She was just so full of energy, and everyone just loved her.
Louise, you were Danielle's best friend, and can you tell me a little bit about your time with her then, and when you got to know her?
We were in primary school together, but we weren't in the same class. So it wasn't really until the start of secondary school when we became proper friends. And from that moment on, I think we ditched anybody that we knew and became best friends.
It was one of those really special friendships.
You wouldn't have really seen one without the other. We were attached at the hip, really. And if we weren't together, we were on the phone.
Jolene is saying that she really loved travelling. That was a huge part of her life. Did you travel with her?
No, that's kind of when we went on separate paths. I had started a family and she went traveling. So, yeah, things were different and we lived very different lives, but we still were best friends at the end of it. And she always come, when she come home, I'd be the first she'd phone and I'd sometimes pick her up from the airport and stuff. And, you know, she loved my kids and stuff as well.
And she wanted to be a yoga teacher, is that right?
Yeah. Jolene, maybe I'll tell you about.
She wanted to be a yoga teacher and then she wanted to go to Canada then and teach yoga. That was kind of her plans when she came to India this time.
Okay, and of course that makes sense because there'd be a huge tradition of yoga in India. So that was one of the things that she had in the back of her head, was it, Jolene?
Yeah, she just, like, her plan was always going to go to India this time to learn how to teach yoga. And then her plan then was to move to Canada and then work out there teaching it.
Can I ask Andrea, when Jolene was planning to go to India, did you ever have any concerns or was it that given she'd travelled so much and this was the way she lived her life, were you worried at all?
This isn't directed at Andrea. Like, Danielle, I was always frightened where Danielle went, even if she went up the town and showed up at, I'm a warrior. If Danielle went out for a drink at night, we were friends. I worried. It wasn't just India. I worried constantly.
Yeah, and that's so normal for a mother.
I would have known for Danielle would have come home from college or from her travels, wherever she was, and she'd be out in the night out. I would have waited up to 3-4 in the morning for Danielle to come home.
You never stop worrying, really.
Even when she was 28.
So can you tell me a little bit, Andrea, then, about when was the last time you saw Danielle?
The last time I saw her was the 21st of February when she walked out my door to go over to Goa. She was very excited about going over and she said that she'd be home in a few months.
Did you stay in contact with her then or when she was travelling like that?
Every single day. Every
really?
Day, even the day that she passed away. Well, the day she passed away, she said, I'm with my friend and the friend was the person that killed my daughter.
Oh my goodness.
She named him.
So in the days before her death, you're talking to her every day. What was her life like when she got to India? Was she happy there?
She seemed to be very happy and she was very content. And when she was going here, she arrived here on the Sunday, the 12th of March. And then on the 13th, she wasn't very happy where she stayed on the 12th. So she was up for other accommodations. So she contacted the man who killed her and asked him for help to find somewhere to stay and the rest people know.
And when she called you on that day, and as you say, she said she was with Kat, did she tell you about what her plans were? Can you tell me a little bit about her final conversation?
To Holly and India, and she says, I'm very safe. It's Holly and India. I'm in a safe part. It's very quiet. I'm with my friend, Baguette.
I don't know. Do you think about that conversation a lot?
No, it wasn't a conversation. It was actually... I was through text. I would read it a lot, yeah.
When was the next that you heard, Andrea, about what had happened?
The next time I heard was when Louise here, she came to my door, her and her mother, and they knocked my door. And once I seen them, I knew, and I thought, I didn't think it was what happened. And I says, how bad is she? How is she? And she, Louise is just telling me, I just says, is it Danielle? Is she dead? I didn't remember that.
So you said, is it Danielle? Is she dead? But you, when you saw Louise, you knew something very bad had happened. Louise, you're telling us what happened. How did you hear the news?
Yeah, so my friend Connell from Liverpool messaged me. Or no, sorry, he phoned me saying, did you hear about Danny? And I says, why, what happened? I said, I haven't heard from her in a couple of days. And he says, oh God, do you not know? And I says, what is it? And I says, just tell me what is it? And he goes, if I didn't know that you didn't know, I wouldn't have phoned. And I was like, just tell me. And he says, she's dead. And I says, what? And he goes, hold on, I'll send you this. He goes, somebody just sent it to me. So then it was a news report of an India local media, and it was him reporting, and her body was in the background. And I think at this point, I seen her hair, and I was like, it's her. Because she had the most beautiful red curly hair. And then later down the line, we found out then that what actually happened was that people found out her name, found her Facebook, and were messaging just anybody on the Facebook saying, are you her family? Like, she is dead, this kind of thing. So that's where me and my mum went to Andrea then and told her.
Oh, my goodness. And what a way to find out the most terrible news.
Yeah. And really, for a man, it took about 24 hours, wasn't it, till it was confirmed fully? Because nobody really knew yet. Like, you know, it was like, who do we contact? Or, you know.
Andrea, I can't imagine getting that news. And we are now here 8 years later. Can you tell me, have you got justice today?
I've got justice, but I'll never take back my daughter. But it'll mean now that we as a family and our friends can finally start grieving. When we were here, when we came here now, we've seen what the public prosecutor and the police investigators have done has been astounding, the work that they've done. They've literally showed us some of the files and they've just been so kind to us.
So there's some healing maybe in that?
There is.
Yeah, that they fought hard.
We know now how hard they fought. We were never aware of it before too. They've literally went out of their way since we arrived.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the last 8 years have been like?
They've been constantly trying to fight for Danielle, to get justice for Danielle, and to make sure that Fagat is locked up for the rest of his life, or whatever is meant to be, whatever the judge decides on Monday.
So the sentence will be handed down on Monday?
Yes, and they are fighting for the death penalty or the remainder of life.
And will you stay there, Andrea, until that sentence is handed down?
Yes, we are staying to Monday.
And how are you coping? I can't imagine the very mixed and very, very strong...
I made a different story tomorrow, but today was very emotional because we had to see him. And the girls, they never stopped staring at him. They stared at him the whole time. They were so brave. And like there were no emotion shown. They just kept looking at him. He could not look at them. There's this curtain thing, and he kind of hid behind the curtain thing.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't come out till we left the courtroom. And
so Louise and Jolene, you're saying they stared at him?
Yeah. Eye contact.
Yeah. Showed that we were strong.
He'd never seen no emotions from any of us today.
And what was it like, Andrea, to see him?
It was scary. Really, you know, you knew then. You knew what he looked like then, really. Not a newspaper.
Hi, Jolene. I just wanted to check in with you, I suppose, really, to see how this has all been for you.
It's been such a surreal experience. Like, we didn't realise how close we would be to him. And we were kind of, like, worrying that it was going to be not guilty because we were kind of prepared for the worst. And so to actually hear guilty, it was such a relief off our shoulders that we can finally start the grieving process now.
And does it feel like that the grieving process has been put on pause for the last 8 years?
We were constantly having to fight for Danielle. So we felt like we couldn't grieve or show emotion, that we had to be strong for Danielle. So at least now we finally can grieve for her.
She would have turned 36 just a couple of weeks ago.
It was the anniversary on the 13th
of March.
She was found on the 14th of March. Yeah. So it's actually 7 years, 11 months today since she was found.
Yeah.
What would be your memory of Danielle going forward?
we just want to remember her like the way she was, like
happy,
carefree, smiling. And just like she was our protector. She was the one that we came to with any problem. She was like a mother to us. She was our best friend. She was everything and more to us. And we've lost such an important part of our life. It feels like we'll never truly get over her.
Yeah, Jolene, I can't imagine losing a sister and losing a sister in the way you've lost your sister, and indeed to yourself, Andrea. Well, thank you all of you for joining me this evening and for sharing, I suppose, today with us and with our listeners.
Thank you.